ABC Radio Australia.
New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has claimed a historic victory and a second term in the country's general election. It took just 3 hours for her opponent, Judith Collins, to concede defeat after New Zealanders delivered Ardern's Labor government a thumping victory. Barbara Miller reports.
Tonight, New Zealand has shown the Labor Party its greatest support in at least 50 years.
More than the Prime Minister could have hoped for.
We will not take your support for granted. And I can promise you, we will be a party that governs for every New Zealander.
The opposition leader, gracious in defeat.
Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, who I have phoned before, congratulations on your result, because it is, I believe, an outstanding result for the Labor Party.
Even if Crusher Collins was still displaying some of her trademark bluntness.
And I say to everybody, we will be back.
The result means it's possible Labor will be able to form majority government without a coalition partner, a first since proportional representation was introduced in the 1990s. As polls closed, journalists hungry for results were kept well-fed by Ardern's partner.
We've had such a long run with everything, so there's sort of a sense of relief that we're at this place now.
These voters were among the minority after almost 2 million New Zealanders took advantage of advance voting.
Yeah, I was looking forward to voting today. I didn't want to wait, because you don't know what's going to happen in those 2 weeks.
In the end, they chose to give Ardern a second term, her victory never really in doubt. But it could all have been so different if COVID hadn't hit. Her go hard, go early mantra paid off. The virus more or less contained, the party's ratings back on the rise. It wasn't, of course, the only crisis the Prime Minister had to manage. She won hearts and minds for her response to the Christchurch terrorist attacks and the Whakaari White Island eruption. But she didn't deliver on many of her key domestic policy pledges. If that doesn't change, New Zealanders won't be so understanding next time around.
That was Barbara Miller reporting there. The landslide victory gives Labor a clear mandate. Last time they were in coalition with the Greens and New Zealand First. So what might the election result mean for Pacifica people and the Pacific region at large? Christina Lalai-Tulsa is a political scientist from Massey University in New Zealand and was watching the weekend's events unfold. She joins us now here on Pacific Beat. Talofa Lava, Christina, and welcome back to Pacific Beat.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Christina, they're calling it a landslide victory. What did you make of the result over the weekend?
That was a landslide victory for Labor. It's the first time that a government has been able to govern on their own since MMP in 1996, so it has been a landslide. And I think it's been a landslide as well because I don't think National predicted that Labor will take most of their seats. And in the South Island, Labor Party won all of the party votes in the whole of the South Island, which has a few national strongholds. But Labor has just taken all of their party votes.
I know that Radio New Zealand is reporting that Labor's 64 seat victory in the Parliament will see New Zealand Labor Party's largest ever Pacific caucus. As you were saying there, long held national seats were overtaken by Labor candidates. In particular, Teresa Nobi of Samoan and Scottish descent won the long-held seat of Otaki over Nationals' Tim Costley. She said on the weekend on social media that, you know, this gives Pacific people a lot of confidence about the future of Pacific representation in the Labor Party, referencing in particular the new members who joined the Labor Party, saying that you've got four brand-new, young, articulate, intellectual, bilingual, bicultural MPs that are coming through. I know that Pacifica and Māori representation was something that Ardern was adamant on during the leaders' debates in the lead-up to the election. So what will this Pacific caucus mean when it comes to dealing with issues Pacifica people face both in New Zealand and then also how New Zealand deals with other countries in the region?
That's a really good question, because so with the number of Pacific MPs in Parliament now, I think that shows the diversity within the New Zealand population as well, in terms of the number of Pasifika people and Māori. And there's a strong representation not only from Samoan MPs, but obviously the increase in the numbers from Cook Islanders coming through, and in the Tongan population as well, which is really good. And I think it's now up to them to sort of get their heads together and have a strong strategic think about what would work for Pasifika people, not only in New Zealand but in the Pacific. And I think the loss of Winston Peters has been is actually a downturn, because he has been really strong in terms of the Pacific reset, trying to get all the Pacific countries up to speed with New Zealand diplomacy. So that's something that these MPs will have to deal with. And as you said, four of them are quite new. So I think it'll take a bit of time for them to sort of get their heads together and find their feet. Mm-hmm. But they should be able to provide a strong Pasifika voice for the New Zealand government, and actually start to think about some policies and legislation to help bring up the Pasifika communities in terms of economic stability and things like that, mm-hmm. Where they've been hit hard through crisis after crisis, as we've seen with COVID.
Mm. I know that Aupito William Seo has long pushed for more Pacific people to be inside the cabinet. Do you think that these Pacifika people who have won their seats may have portfolios in the new Labor government?
I don't think that the new ones will. I think that they still have, because yes, they've been really strong in terms of the community and the grassroots, but none of them have worked in central government before. So policy-wise and legislation-wise, that's probably an area that they'll probably have to sort of sort themselves out with within the next 3 years. But I guess, the likes of Jenny Zalesa, who's been there before, Aupito, Carmel Sepuloni, Porto Williams, or the people, the incumbents from last time, there's a strong possibility that, that some of them will be able to take up those very important portfolios, especially in response and to sort of address specific issues here in New Zealand.
Mm. Now, two portfolios that will be up will, of course, be the Deputy Prime Minister and Minister for Foreign Affairs, because, as you said, Winston Peters lost his seat, and the party, New Zealand First, also lost their party status because they failed to pass the 5% threshold. Here's a little bit of Winston Peters from the weekend talking about that defeat.
To those who have been successful tonight, our congratulations and best wishes. And as for the next challenge, we'll all have to wait and see. God bless you and God bless New Zealand.
Now, Winston Peters, of course, is kind of a well-known name in New Zealand politics. He's been around for decades and has defied the polls time and time again. Unfortunately, just wasn't lucky to pull it off again over the weekend's election. What was the New Zealand reaction to Winston Peters not only losing his seat, but also the party losing their place in Parliament as well?
I think there was a bit of a shock, because I think a lot of people were expecting them, and a lot of people wanted them to come back into government. But I think with Winston Peters' party base, he strongly focuses on the older population, and so I think that was probably where they could have improved in terms of their voters. They should have appealed more to the youth and other age groups. But, it has been a shock, and hopefully in the next 3 years we'll see them come back up and join Parliament.
Mm. You're listening to Christina Lalai-Talsa. She's a political scientist from Massey University in New Zealand, and we're talking about the New Zealand general election over the weekend, which Jacinda Ardern's Labor government won in a landslide victory. Now, as we heard earlier in that report from Barbara Miller, while Ardern was praised for her dealing with events that captured global attention, like the Christchurch massacre, the COVID-19 pandemic, and the volcanic eruption on Fakari Island, she has been criticised for not delivering on domestic policy. What will this next term look like for Jacinda Ardern, especially having to deal with the fallout of the COVID-19 pandemic and what that's meant for the economy?
Yeah, I think so. The next term, I think, will come out. We'll see her come out stronger in terms of her domestic policies. Like you said, it feels like she's been dealing with crisis after crisis. But now with COVID sort of, taking a back doorstep. It should be now the Labour government have the opportunity to sort of focus more on what's happening within New Zealand and see what they can do in the future. And as you know, we've also had the two referendums on legalising cannabis and the euthanasia. So I think those will be the two important things that they need to now look at and take forward. And as a response to COVID, you know, a lot of the Pacific communities have felt the economic impacts of COVID and all the crisis that we've had because of the jobs that that were first to go were with Pacific populations. So now it's up to them to sort of have a look and see where they need to go. And without any of the crisis in the next 3 years, hopefully, they'll be in a stronger position to take the helm and see what will happen for New Zealand.
Mm, indeed. And finally, Christina, I know that some people have already come out to say that Pacifica voters should be rewarded for being long-time Labor voters when, you know, they were in power and when they weren't as well, and that, you know, extra provision should be made to recognise Pacific voters. And I'll also remind people that at the start of the year, Island Business, a regional Fijian magazine, named Jacinda Ardern as the Pacific Person of the Year. So looking forward to Jacinda Ardern's term, what do you think it will mean for Pacifica people both in New Zealand and in the region that, you know, Jacinda Ardern will be the leader of a Labor government in New Zealand?
Look, I really hope that they will sort of crack down on what's really happening with Pacific, because it doesn't look like, although they've been in the government for a long time and, they've, you know, year after year they've been receiving Pacific votes, but that doesn't actually reflect in terms of economics and the education space. So I'm hoping that, you know, the new government with the new MPs coming through who have backgrounds in health and in education, that they'll be able to sort of set more policies that actually enable Pacifica people, because I feel like in the past the Labor policies have more disabled them and given them sort of like a band-aid over what's happening with Pacifica communities here in New Zealand and as well as the Pacific. So I'm hoping that they'll actually address it and not put and not give them a band-aid, because if they don't address it, it's more just, It'll be like exploiting the Pacific votes without actually addressing and responding to them. So I'm really, really hoping that they will sit down and look at policies that will actually enable Pacifica people here in New Zealand, and then that will flow on, will have a flow-on effect for Pacific countries in the Pacific.
Indeed, and we'll have academics like you and journalists like me keeping the New Zealand government to account to ensure that they are looking after Pacifica policy. Christina, thank you so much for joining Pacific Beat this morning. Whawhatai te lava.
Whawhatai lava.